opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Jessica with Shasta Unmasked. We are live at the downtown Reading studio, KCNR 96.5 FM. Ashley, do I have you on the line?
You do. Hey, everybody.
Yay, my wonderful co-host Ashley is on the line. Luckily, I'm not all by myself tonight. I was a little bit stressed about that. Oh, goodness. So how has your week been personally, Ashley?
It's been a week. It's only Tuesday. It's, you know.
I know. It feels like it's like Friday.
It's been a long week this day.
This day was a long week, yes. And yesterday was a long day, too, for me. But today was extra long. I went to the Board of Supervisor meeting, and I stayed there for quite a long time. And there's some things to talk about.
The whole first half was a masterclass in you can explain something to somebody 92 different ways, and if they are dead set on being willfully ignorant, they will stay that way.
Yes. Let's start with the election was certified for our listeners. Yes. The election was certified. It was certified by ROV Tom Toler. He reiterated that today and made sure that all of the audience members who were getting up and making public comments about how they were encouraging the Board of Supervisors to not certify the election, which they don't have the jurisdiction to do, that indeed it was already certified and there is nothing they can do about that.
Yes.
So I guess we can start there. And then were you listening from the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't get there until we started with the whole let's send a letter to the feds. So you start before that.
Well, there's two letters they're sending to the feds.
Okay, tell us about it.
So the first letter that they are sending to the feds is, oh, good grief. The second one is about how they are certifying the election under duress. Which Tim Garman and Mary were both like, we're certifying this, but it's not under duress. What was the first one? The first one was that they wanted to have the Department of Justice come out and investigate the overspray issue.
Right. And Tom Toler said that he would like to do the normal leadership thing, which is go by the process and start step by step and maybe let the state finish their investigation first.
Right.
But, of course, our Board of Supervisors cannot be patient and don't know how to be real leaders. So they want to skip over all of that and send it to the feds because now that Trump's going to be the new president, they think that's going to somehow make it better.
Well, not only are they – well, they're going to send two letters, right? They're going to send one to this regime, they call it, and then they're going to send one to the incoming administration on February 1st so that everybody is all in their seat and nice and cozy. I really am having a hard time cramming into my brain how are we still here?
Yeah. Me too. I was actually texting with someone during the meeting and they're like, what are you doing? And I said, well, you know, the average beep show that it is in Shasta County at the Board of Supervisors meeting, a circus where these people are still claiming voter fraud, except for all of their candidates were elected. So what exactly are we fighting against?
They're fighting against Joanna and the ghost of Kathy Darling Allen and Tom Toler because Tom Toler went and did a zippy and turned around and pulled a Tim Garman on him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're all upset over it because, oh, gee, is when somebody who is actually reasonable is presented with new facts.
Right.
They change their opinions.
Right.
And they, if they're somebody who's analytical and who
isn't living in their ego.
Yeah. They have a tendency to do their own research.
Right. Yeah.
and I don't want to, it's like step in line is the wrong terminology to use, but to follow the letter of the rules of what is and is not allowed.
Producer,
in
we
elections
need Twilight
in California.
Zone. We need Twilight Zone music. that's going to be an often occurrence here. We should get the Twilight Zone music.
I will work on that for the next show.
Okay. I was imagining it as you said
that during the break.
I was imagining it when you said that. Oh my gosh. When they're presented with ideas, they change, or with facts, they change their mind.
I know.
Oh my gosh. That's like this incredible, amazing thing that can happen.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Shasta County, then it doesn't happen very often here.
It doesn't happen
Fact
very often, but when it does happen, they come and they talk at the Board of Supervisors and tell
yes,
you how it did.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So I will say, what time is it? How much time we got?
4 minutes.
Okay. I found it both hilarious and, well, just hilarious, I guess, that Kevin Cry was having to be in our shoes for a little bit while he was trying to explain something to these people, and they just could not comprehend.
Yeah.
And he was getting frustrated. At one point he said, well, gosh, guess you got to be able to read first, or something like that. And he's like, I'm just frustrated. It's like, oh, really? Like, that's how we felt for years, trying to explain things to these people, give them facts, and they just can't comprehend what you're trying to say.
Yeah. So that whole bit was over when I think it was our
not signing the thing that says the election was certified.
Yeah, what was that? Five, six, and seven were all about.
Yeah, 5, 6, and 7.
Our 5, 6, and 7 were all about election stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, 7 was about just certifying that the way Kevin explained it was that the certification was that Tom had come up and given a presentation on the results of the election.
Right.
And that is what they were signing or whatever.
He certified it, that Tom Toler certified the election.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And that they received it, and that, but everybody else, a line of 100 people can come in and try to explain to the Board of Supervisors that they have a magistrate abilities beyond what is reasonable. And it is never, ever, ever going to change the laws and processes of elections in California.
Right.
The Secretary of State is the one who puts forth those rules, which are also mandated by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a couple of like ladders you got to climb up if you want to actually enact some change in those things.
Right.
And none of the people who are in charge in Shasta County, and certainly none of the people who have been yelling at the board for the last 4 years over elections,
yeah,
are going to enact any of that kind of change. Because in order to do that, you would actually have to be reasonable people who are willing to accept other types of information
mm-hmm.
than the stuff that you binge on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. And we continue to be the crazy laughing stock of California. And today one woman got up and said something to the effect of, you know, we're the stronghold of the red counties in California.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, lady, I think the majority of counties in California are red. It's just that the blue ones are much bigger.
Yeah, with, millions of people
stronghold.
In them.
We're not the stronghold. Like, what do you think? We're not the stronghold.
No, and land doesn't vote.
Right.
A lot of that, a lot of those red counties mm-hmm. are a lot of agricultural farmland
right.
and, like, desert
yeah.
and open area, like they don't, oak trees don't vote.
Right. Yep.
If they did, we wouldn't have a climate change issue.
Yep, that's true.
I'm for the oak tree voting thing. I stand on that platform.
A peanut gallery speaks.
Yep.
There's laughter here in the studio.
We enjoy laughter. We do. Goodness gracious. Okay, so what else do we got? What's the next? What are some interesting things we heard during the public comments? We'll talk about that.
Well, let's go to break first, and then we'll talk about
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. We'll be right back.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica. We're live at the KCNR studio, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM. We are accepting phone calls, too, so if you'd like to call and chat about the Board of Supervisor meeting today, you can call in at 530-605-4566 or 67. Both lines are open, and we would love to chat with you today. So, Ashley, where were we?
Interesting speakers.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. There we go. Good job, producer.
Be jealous, guys.
I am very jealous.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
So, interesting speakers at the Board of Supervisors meeting today. I really wish that the meeting is over, right? Because they were supposed to come back around three and a half hours later.
I don't know. I had to leave, so I assume it's over, but I don't know for sure.
I haven't been able to get any confirmation of whether or not.
Oh, did you send a message?
No. I was just looking for. I was just trying to find out whether or not. Yeah, it's over.
Okay.
I don't know. It's the same people who have been shouting about election fraud,
right,
are still going. So we have like Bev Gray, Laura Hobbs, Marty right. Hansen, you know, the same cast of characters. But now they're really, really adamant that the Board of Supervisors have some sort of magistrate power that they just don't have.
Right.
You can I mean, you can argue the fact that they do have a little bit of leeway in the way that they can operate, but they cannot do things that supersede state law.
Right.
And that's why, you know, even, you know, Terry Raposa got up there and was incredibly passionate about how upset he is that the board just kind of refuses to sashay in the face of the state and just do whatever they want him to do. But a couple of really good points were made. One of them stuck with me, and it was, of course, by Benjamin Noyne,
uh-huh.
who said that this is – Kevin is playing both sides in this scenario because he doesn't want to appear as if he is – as that he is giving up, and also that he is – it's like giving up on both sides. He doesn't want one side to think that he's just giving in and just saying, okay, this election was fine and we're just going to go ahead and accept the results. And then on the other side of it is he still wants to fight over it.
Right.
But he's such a personality where he doesn't want to lose face to either one.
Right.
Because he just wants everybody to like him.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I don't think he cares about this side.
Well, I don't think that he cares about either side. I think that he cares about himself.
Yeah.
And that is where that is where all of that comes into play, because if he loses face to either side of the argument,
right,
then he loses both, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nightmare scenario to somebody who wants to remain in politics and possibly seek higher office later, because Everything that he does in that boardroom is recorded. So, I mean, the clips and things, even silly little old me has of Kevin Cry saying things that maybe he shouldn't be saying.
Yeah.
In a professional, local political setting, would be on a more statewide scale would be incredibly, damning to probably any campaign that he tried to put forth.
I feel like Patrick Jones is on the way out, and yeah, Kevin Cry has got to reel himself in a little bit from that Patrick Jones era, because
Patrick leaving is going to give him more leeway to be more in the middle, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. And I've kind of felt like, because, you know, what was the decision? Do you know?
For the letter?
Uh-huh.
They're going to send both of the letters.
Okay. But did they decide to send it with duress?
Yes.
Okay. And Mary and Tim voted no?
They voted yes, but they voted yes and specified that it was not under duress.
Mm-hmm.
But that was basically performative, because the motion that was made and seconded was that it was under duress.
Oh,
which,
okay.
It just means nothing. It means nothing.
Right. So, anyways, yeah. It just gets more and more and more awkward.
Oh, it's going to continue to get more awkward. Just imagine what it's going to be like without Tim and Mary there.
I know. Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's going to be, well, we're going to have Matt Plummer, and we're going to have Alan Long,
right,
and then Corky Harmon, and we're going to have to see
Corkiford.
We're going to see where all that pans out. Maybe Corky ends up being more like pulling a Tim. Let's hope.
No, he's all soaked in with them red, white, blueprint people.
I said, let's hope. We can cross fingers and toes.
You know what? Every time I start to try and have a little bit of hope,
yeah,
it just kind of gets worse.
I know.
So I'm now, and I'm like, expect the worst,
mm-hmm,
and then get the worser.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's been happening lately.
It has. You know, and I felt like Tom deserved a standing ovation for that speech he gave. Did you hear his speech? the one where he was talking about, you know, he told them, now it's time to be leaders. This, the election has been, you appointed me so that I could do this right. I did it right. We had chaos. It wasn't our fault, but we still did an immaculate job. It's yeah. over. I certified it. Now it's time to be a leader and move on and say it's, you know, say the election is valid. It is certified. There is no fraud, and move the community forward. But
well, I can't remember what speaker it was, but made it also another very valid point. It's like, which race was not the outcome that was expected?
Yeah.
Please pinpoint it out.
Yeah. And the other thing is,
I could understand Kellstrom and Cry being, you know, upset about their charter measures not passing.
Right.
But I mean, they're also one of the letters that they're sending is for about elections all the way back, the March election.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's Patrick setting fire to the bridge on his way out.
Yeah, that's definitely how it feels. And it's just complete ludicrous considering they've got what they've wanted. So time to move on, people.
It really is time to move on.
It is.
The only people who are sowing the discourse and the mistrust and distrust in the elections are the people who continue to perpetuate that the elections were not fair and whatever.
Right. I'm also irritated that they continue to give credence and anything to this group of people. Enough is enough already. If it was any other thing, like, could you imagine? I don't know what it would be, what something that we could bring up would be. And just because we bring it up means you have to give everything for years to make it prove it?
Literal years. It's been
years. There's still no evidence. Patty Plum keeps saying, what does she say? We're on the precipice of information. It's coming. I mean, we say this every
There's
show.
Always something coming. There's always something coming.
There's no proof. There's no evidence. Move on now. You even right. won the election, so God, move on.
It's like they're trying to be the Nostradamus of election deniers. It's like eventually if we keep saying something's coming, something will really happen, and then we'll just be like, see?
Told you so.
Told you the whole time.
And then, I mean, it kind of goes along with, did you see the interview with Trump the other day where they asked him, I don't know what interview it was, ABC or something, and the reporter asked him, so if you believe that there's election fraud, then why do you think you won? And he said, oh, the voters just spoke way too loud that they went, that the fraud couldn't keep up. Oh my gosh. So this is what they're listening to, and it's really sad. It's sad that our brains
it's
aren't functioning
because,
better as a collective county.
You know, these are people who probably were super cool like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, probably didn't pay much attention to politics, probably were just
nice people,
cool and chill and doing their jobs and hanging out with their family and, you know, playing at the lake and, you know, doing this and that. Now, suddenly, somewhere, some dude with a crack habit and a pillow company and a failed real estate agent decided to get together and sow discourse about elections, and then all of a sudden, all the mean ma's in the county are hella pilled.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I've been watching this go down for years,
yeah.
And it's not just this. It is these cults of personality. It's these echo chambers. It's social media and how people get sucked into that.
Yeah.
And the combination of all of these things is just a perfect storm for somebody who who has maybe like a proclivity to question things. And then as soon as they get that confirmation bias going, it's over.
Right.
It's over. And there's no pulling them out of it. You got to just, you got to take me and mom's phone away and cancel her Facebook account because there's no getting her out.
Oh, goodness.
We should go to break.
Yes, we should. All right. Let's take a break real quick. Let's gather our thoughts and we will come back to the Twilight Zone.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Back to Shasta Unmasked, KCNR 96.5 FM. We're at the Downtown Reading radio station, and we are back with the Twilight Zone.
I got to play this.
Producer, hello.
Hey.
There you go. All right.
So there were other things that happened at the Board of Supervisors meeting today, and it wasn't just all about election denialism.
Okay.
There was also the tourism thing,
okay,
and there's also the airport thing.
Okay, so right? Update us on tourism.
Okay, so the state of tourism in Shasta County was, remember a couple of months ago when they decided that they were going to try and take...
They put out an ROI, right?
Not ROI. So they said that they were going to completely scrap the whole thing.
Today they said that?
Yes. So all of that time and money was absolutely wasted, and they got nothing out of it.
Oh, nice. And did they say why?
Because they got a bunch of information on where the, what is it, that tax, the tourism tax?
Right.
Where all of those funds go to.
Uh-huh.
And where they're generated from. So it turns out that District 2, 3, and 4 carry the most load and generate the most money when it comes to that tourism tax. District 3 or I can't remember which one was the higher. It was either 3 or 4. They're pretty close. Over like $1 million, $500,000 or higher. So the main argument, I think, of that was that the city of Reading was who was decided by that panel, or the Reading Chamber of Commerce or something like that, was decided that they would be the best people to promote. But then, of course, because Kevin's friend Nigel didn't get the gig, so they had to put the kibosh on the whole thing.
Wow.
Most people who came up to speak on that item said that this is a project and a thing that could be done in-house. One gentleman came and spoke. He was from was in District 3 and Lake Shasta. He did something with Lake Shasta. I've only listened to this meeting once so far.
When
I listen to it again tonight,
Matt,
I will
something. Matt from Matt from Shasta Lake Caverns.
That's the one.
Yeah.
He's on his like shoestring budget of $25,000 that they use to go out and about outside of Shasta County to promote people coming into the area. They do a lot with that very, very, very small budget. And the main argument seemed to be that, you know, a lot of these tourism things absolutely can be taken care of in-house. They don't need to be farmed out or shopped
right.
out to somebody else who's just going to be like, you're just creating a contract out of the sake of creating a contract. There's no benefit to doing that and throwing extra money at it. I think that there was also a couple of very good points made about how one of the reasons why it is so difficult to try and convince people to come to Reading is because Reading has such an awful reputation
right.
for being, you know, unsafe, for not having, you know, for being unsafe in general.
Right.
Right. Whenever you see those lists of like top 10 worst places to live in California, Reading ranks in there generally all the time.
Right. And like, when people are having conversations online, I see it all the time in the Facebook groups for parents and moving and community groups where someone will say, "We're moving to Reading in 2 weeks. Tell me what's the best place to live." And people are so down about Reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really sad because, I mean, comparatively, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area. So when we're talking about Reading, it's like, this is not the murder capital of the world. Come on, people. And there's a lot to love here. But for people that have lived here for a long time, they are seeing a rise in crime and things like that. And so, problems with housing, a housing crisis. And that's what I always tell people. Please don't come here. We don't have enough mm-hmm. housing for our citizens. So just stay wherever you are, you know, for now.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's Anderson, there's Cottonwood,
yeah.
there's Red Bluff, there's Bella Vista, there's Palisadro, there's Shasta. I mean, there's a lot of places around that if you really were forced to go to the area, they're probably a little bit more bearable than, like, actually in the city limits.
Right.
But let me tell you, I've lived all over California.
Right.
And the place where I had the most trouble, and I'm not me getting in trouble, but like things get my base most mostly my car getting broken into was in Reading.
Right.
I lived in San Jose for 5 years. I barely ever locked my car. Well, never, ever, ever had anybody do anything.
In Reading, well, the only time I've ran into crime is when I lived in nice neighborhoods. Like when I lived with the Tweakers, like in Shasta Lake City, I lived right next door to a major Tweaker. Like he was up all hours of the night, you know, doodling on things in his car, in his garage. But he never gave me a problem. I never had anything stolen, never had anything broken into, nothing. And then the second I moved to the suburbs, my garage was broken into and stuff was stolen. My car was broken into. It's like the people come from the outside to do that.
Yep. I lived up off of Valley Ridge up back behind, like the top of the hill up behind where Waterworks Park is.
Right.
Off of Lake Boulevard. My car broke it into 6 times in 3 years.
Oh, God. Yeah. And now I live in the country, so definitely that's not happening. I'm in Palo Pedro.
No, they don't want to go out there. People go out there, they don't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that area, Palo Pedro and stuff. I like taking locals out there who have never been out to that area because then they get really scared because they're lost. They have no idea where they are.
I know. When people come to my house for the first time, especially like if it's after dark, they're like, where am I going?
Now I need the deliverance music. Ding, 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 ding.
Get it going, producer. We need to give them a list of the noises.
I'll send you my soundboard clip so you can be prepared next time.
Yeah.
Yes, because right now my job is being stolen and it's not by AI.
Oh, we're so sad. We're so sad.
What's your initials, Ashley?
Me?
Yes, because then I can
AW.
Say
AW.
My initial. I'm not being. It's not being stolen by AI. It's being stolen by AW.
Oh, I get it. Okay. I thought we were talking about real life here.
No. Just, yeah.
Okay. So, next. What was the next thing?
Ashley Ben
okay,
Banter.
The next thing was
okay.
The next thing was the airport.
Yes, okay, airport. Any update?
So, the update on the airport, I guess it would be the contract with United.
Right.
And this Denver flight, right?
Okay.
So, they needed the board to approve like something like $100,000 or $200,000 in addition to the other $100,000 I think that they have approved as a guarantee of profit to United so that they will continue to provide this flight from Reading to Denver.
Uh-huh.
Argument being that in order for an airline to provide a flight path from point A to point B, they need to have some sort of idea that flight is going to be profitable.
Right.
So, in between the time. I guess this contract is for next year.
Uh-huh.
So in between the time, you know, from January to December next year, they're gonna have the flight, and if it falls short of the profitability mark, then the money that they earmarked for this is going to make up the difference. So the main argument being is that the city of Reading, again, is the one who is in control of the airport. And why is the entire county putting forth, let me clarify, this is something that Tim and Mary brought up. Why is the entire county putting the bill for something that the city of Reading is in essence in charge of?
Right. Oh, my goodness.
It's just one more thing that the Board of Supervisors are kind of meddling with where they're playing an area where they don't have any jurisdiction.
Why is there no airport? Because there was – or why is there no flight? Why is it going away? Because there was problems. I mean, speaking for myself, I don't even fly United anymore. I used to fly from Reading to San Francisco and catch a connecting flight, but I go to Sacramento now because it was so unpredictable. They would constantly cancel the United flight and get us stuck in San Francisco anyway. And so I just got sick of it. So
well,
I don't know what the problem is, but
flights out of Reading are just disastrously expensive.
Yeah.
Like $200 or $300 one way to San Francisco. You could drive there. You could stop anywhere along the way and have a three-course meal.
Yeah.
Fill up your tank a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, buy presents for your friends and still have money left over to get to the city.
Right. Yeah.
And pay for parking.
Yeah.
Those of us who go to the city know how expensive that is.
Right.
But it's, I can understand the necessity to have a connecting flight east because, and they are correct in saying that Denver is one of the major hubs for all points east, right?
Right.
But, I mean, the $300,000 is a lot of money to pony up on speculation.
Right.
When they don't want to pony up $300,000 towards any kind of mental health, any kind of health and human services.
Right.
Like, everybody has to parse out every single penny that will be spent somewhere in a program where they're asking for funds that are coming out of the general fund. But yeah, let's just give United $300,000 on spec.
Right.
Yeah, that's
about it. That's as far as we go with that. All right. Well,
one more break.
Is it break time? All right. I guess we'll be back soon with the Twilight Zone.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. We'll play part two of our conversation with Ray Richmond, author of The Sopranos, The Complete Visual History. Plus, we'll welcome back Stephanie Powers, the actress known around the world as Jennifer Hart on Heart to Heart. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
With our last segment of Shasta Unmasked, downtown at the Reading Studio, KCNR 96.5 FM. If you want to give us a call, now is the time. 530-605-4566 and 67.
Yeah, don't give us your friend's phone number again.
Oh, my goodness. luckily, that's not what I did tonight. So I was just going to say the other thing to talk about is, or one of the things is that everyone hopefully knows that I was elected to the Board of Education.
Yay!
Congratulations to me. Clap, clap, clap.
What?
Yes, you didn't know?
I did not know. I'm.
Stop!
I saw your name on my ballot. I was like, oh my goodness.
Did you vote for me? That wasn't a quick enough answer.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for telling me live on air. But yes, I was. And so I wanted to first be clear that my comments about further things regarding the Office of Education are not in my role as a board member, just as a personal human being. And so I wanted to mention that in the news recently, so December 18th at 12 p.m., we are going to be sworn in, the new board members. So anybody that wants to come and cheer us on and just kind of wrap up this long election season, because Michael Ehrlichy and I and were the ones that won from the ones that were campaigning together. And we ran long campaigns that were exhausting. And there wasn't very many, we didn't have very many, successes this election season. So I feel like we should all come together and just celebrate our wins when we have them. So, anybody that wants to come, it's going to be at the Shasta County Office of Education, the one next to Rare Air off of Airport Road at 12 p.m. on December 18th, which is Wednesday, next Wednesday. And also in the news, you may have heard that one of the people that was elected to the board, Jackie LaLavera, who is currently a Anderson Union High School District board member, has said that she refuses to resign from her role at the Anderson Union Board. And the law says, you know, you cannot hold both offices, that if somebody wins an election for a new board position in a school board, then they are to be perceived as having quit their position at the other one. But she says she's not going to. She's in an attempt to hold both offices, which is against Ed Code. So we will see how that pans out.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So as somebody, as a citizen that's been watching Jackie at the Anderson Union School Board District, my guess is if she has to choose, she's going to stay where she has power, which is going to be Anderson Union High School District. Because, you know, there she has a more like-minded friends that she's convinced to vote like her.
Yeah.
So
stay where the echo chamber is. That's the safe space.
Yeah, exactly. So we have that going on. What else do we have in the news lately about politics?
Man, it's like I have so disconnected from national politics since the election.
Oh, me too.
Just to kind of give my brain a break.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't kept it completely saturated in local politics.
Oh, I have something to say. And
what was that?
This is really funny because this is going to be just the first time I'm going to be mentioning it to Ashley at all, because we haven't had this discussion at all. But it is something that I've been thinking about in my head, and I think you're going to agree with it. So we could just kind of brainstorm here in our last few minutes. I was thinking about sponsoring, so kind of, I don't know what we call it, probably sponsoring a show of ours, one of our shows, maybe like the last show of the month or the first show of the month or something like that, mm-hmm. to some young people that we choose.
Ooh.
Who create this show that they do once a month all on their own with our guidance, where we give them, we just, you know, we teach them leadership skills. You know, what do you need to do? Because we're such great leaders and we have our shit all together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but just guide them on how to go about it. But get some young people from both sides of the aisle. So some MAGAs, like maybe three or four people I'm thinking, like a couple MAGAs that are like to different degrees, a couple left leaners that are to different degrees, and they have to get along together and they have to discuss maturely on their show different topics about local politics. And they have to pay attention to local politics in order to do that. And then they bring on guests that are other young people. Mm-hmm. And they have their calls open to young people. And part of their job is to encourage young people to vote no matter what side of the aisle they're on.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think anytime we get the younger generation involved on a level where they are learning about things that directly affect them,
right,
and how you should, and how voting with and against your own interests,
right,
affects you,
yeah,
this is something that I think is not covered enough. Even when I was in, you know, high school and stuff, it wasn't really a subject of like a subject matter.
Right.
Like, they just taught you about, like, civics, and this is how this works with the other thing, and this wasn't, like, as granular.
Right.
So maybe giving some students who have an interest in journalism or an interest in broadcasting the opportunity to have an effect that way, I think is a great idea.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I feel like one of the major things missing in our community, especially, is the voice of the young people. The voices are all of much older people, mostly. Like, you and I and Shay, we're the younger people.
I know.
And there's not very many of us. And, you know, our little group is like, we're the youngins. Most of them
are. Well, it's like, the thing is like, people our age, like, we got mortgages and we got jobs,
yeah,
and we have kids.
Some of us
and
have
we
kids,
have, like,
yeah.
We're not sitting, you know, binge watching YouTube videos for 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there has to be a bridge between generations.
Right. And bring them on over and like start teaching them skills.
Is that bridge too far? Then we got it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So you heard it here first, folks. We don't know anything else.
Nope.
But
coming in 2024.
Yeah.
2025. I mean, 2025. Oh, God.
But you know how we go. We're like, you want to do this? Okay, yeah, let's do it. Oh, also, Ashley doesn't know this yet either, but Shay and I were talking about it earlier. So we do have merch coming soon. We have a somebody that graciously decided to help us get that started. Financially,
like,
so thank you to that sponsor.
Like actual physical,
yeah,
merch?
Some merch, yeah, so that we'll have available to sell to people that want it.
That's awesome.
So we need to come up with some catchy lines to put on our stuff. So if you have any ideas, email us at shastaandmast@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook. I'm thinking like some things that will only make sense to local people, but also some things that will make sense to the greater lefty world.
Yeah, not everybody wants a YOLO for Dolo.
No. or strawberry shortcake, Jenny on it.
one of my friends did win a witch stitchery tote on stream the other day.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, because yeah. Witch stitchery is awesome.
Well, I always miss that. My clock has been off lately. Producer, what time is it?
We are at 6:58.
Okay, my clock's right then. Good. Yeah, that is hilarious. We have some really good ones for local people that are paying attention, but I just thought some people, you know, the more minds, the merrier. So if you have something funny you think would go well on a hoodie or a coffee mug, let us know. But Shasta Unmasked merch will be available shortly.
We should have at least one that has like Mount Shasta on it that says what's shaken.
That's cute.
That is good. I just thought of that. You're welcome.
All right. We're about to be done. So thank you everybody for listening. We will see you next week on Shasta Unmasked, Tuesday at 6 p.m. KCNR 96.5 FM. Thank you and have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.
She's Candy Apple-Man, ski for a wheel, and was glad I hit the gas, man. Just watch her steal. It's the little Saint Nick.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.